This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
They have so many different snap points, so many different motions that it's hard to just be there. You can't hone in on just one thing. If you think you have them down, they change it up. Even in the run game, I just think it's a very multiple run game with a lot of movement that, you know, you have to be on it with your eyes. And this would be an elite test for our eye discipline, right? If our eyes are right, then we could be in a good spot to try to put ourselves in position to make a play. But if your eyes are off at all, they have the chance to really hit you with an explosive play.
This is where the Dolphins, so D'Amico talking about the Dolphins there, obviously. This is where I get stressed watching. In the old days, I used to get stressed about defensive ends going against like a veer option. And then with the RPO and the zone reads and everything, it's extended on into the linebackers. And with the RPOs and the ability of the Dolphins to really put linebackers and safeties in a bind, and when it comes to reading run or pass and having your coverage responsibilities, all of that, it's tough. You've got to be super, super disciplined versus the Dolphins, and then you've got to be really good at tackling after the fact. That's where not having Azeez Alshire out there, both from his individual play on the field, but then his ability also to pick up on keys and reads and to communicate, you're losing something with Azeez Alshire versus the Dolphins that you really would have preferred to have out there. So all the linebackers as a group are especially, there's a lot of pressure on them this week, especially.
A lot of pressure on the linebackers. You know, I love me a good narrative, Seth. Is this the game with all that speed they've got out there? Is this the game where the narrative on Monday is that Kamari Lassiter's 4.65 stopwatch time finally showed up?
I doubt it, just because what teams have been able to do versus the Dolphins is they'll take the top off of the defense. And if you look at their receivers this year, it's Tyreek Hill, then Jalen Waddle, and then Jonnu Smith, the tight end.
He's had a really good season for them.
They're all pretty similar.
Yeah.
So Jonnu Smith has really taking advantage of all these opportunities he gets by teams really trying to diminish the deep threat of Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill. So you saw on the game-winning touchdown in overtime this weekend, they're all lined up in a bunch, Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill, and Jonnu Smith, and it's down in the red zone, but Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill run routes into the end zone. Jonnu Smith is coming across the middle. The safety's a little late to recognize, and boom, there it goes.
Game over.
That's the big concern, is the safeties and the linebackers picking up all the scraps and just, right, we're gonna have a plan for Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. We're going to keep them from getting huge explosive plays. But then Achan, Jonnu Smith, all those other guys, those are where they can really do some damage.
D'Amico, did he get asked about Jalen Petrie yesterday? I looked through the cuts. I watched his interview with Mark and John on the coach's show, and I listened to every single cut. I didn't see anywhere where he was asked about Petrie, but Petrie is not on IR. He got hurt in the game before the bye week was, oh my God, how am I forgetting this? They won. Oh, Jacksonville. So he didn't. I'm trying to remember. He got hurt in the Tennessee game, Petrie did, right?
Yeah.
So he's now missed 2 weeks. I don't know. I'm guessing. I mean, he'll be on the injury report because he's not on IR.
At the time of the injury, my thought was, all right, best case scenario is what happened with the Lions with their center, Frank Ragnow, who missed a game and a bye week. He missed 2 weeks and then came back. So that would be the same timeline for Jalen Petrie. He'd miss a game and a bye week if he were able to come back. So it's not outside the realm of possibilities at all. I think DeMeco does a pretty good job of keeping these things close to the vest.
Yeah.
They've managed to keep quarterback changes and other things like that secret until the weekend of the game. So, there might be a little bit of gamesmanship going on here. Maybe it's radio silence by design, and then all of a sudden Jalen Petrie practices on Friday. I don't know.
Were you as surprised as I was that Kenyon Green was activated off of IR yesterday?
I was. I just kind of wrote this off as he was going to take another sabbatical like he did 2 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, I did too. I'm like, Kenyon Green, hold up, Kenyon Green is back? What?
Yeah. And it was interesting, the team released it with the news that Kenyon Green had been activated and that Christian Harris was back. They reported Kenyon Green's name first, which I feel like they were kind of burying the lead on that one, other than that it was unexpected, so that got your attention. And in my mind, I was like, oh, that's weird. Oh, Christian Harris? Yes.
Right. No,
that's Christian Harris.
We had someone text in. We just did the Pettycast in the previous segment, and we asked you guys to text in. 713-572-4610. Anything you're petty about? Someone was petty that they added Kenyon Green to the Christian Harris announcement because it sort of softened the criticism of Kenyon Green at the time.
It was just like Bill Murray's character in Kingpin when Ben, do we have that clip?
Yeah.
Yep, here we go.
Hi.
Hello.
Not you. Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, Kenyon, we weren't looking at you.
I was like,
with
sorry,
Google
no,
eyes.
Not you, Kenyon. Yeah, Christian Harris there. That big chiseled human being to you. That's who I'm talking
to. That's funny. So the Dolphins are 6-7. I look at this Dolphins team and I just completely eliminate the games that Tua didn't play. Their backup quarterback situation was so bad. I mean, they were shuttling in Skylar Thompson and Snoop Huntley. Tim Boyle was there for a minute. It was bad. They were 1-3 in those games. I don't even look at those games. This is a different team with Tua starting, and they're 5-4 with Tua starting. They're 4-2 since he came back from his injury, from his concussion. They're 4-1 in their last five games. So they lost the first game back. That was the game they lost to Buffalo. And they're so with Tua under center this year, they beat the Jags by 3 in week 1. And then they lost a bunch of games. He was gone for a while. They've beaten the Rams, the Raiders, the Patriots, and then the Jets in overtime. So there's no world beaters on there. And that said, the Texans have lost to the Jets and the Titans within the last month. So I don't know how much, I don't know what quality of opponent means for any of this stuff.
They're big in that the Dolphins and the Texans are both in that big pile of mush in the middle where nobody really knows quite what to make of them. I think people have kind of, I would say both with Tua and CJ, the national media has kind of just decided to sit out the discussion about who they are or what they are as quarterbacks because it's such a muddled situation. That'll be a big off-season topic, I'm sure, when quarterback rankings and everything start to come out again. It's hard to figure this team other than that they've got very notable weapons that can hurt you at any given time.
Yeah.
Defensively, they're respectable enough. They're not world beaters. I think they've taken on Anthony Weaver's. They've gotten better at running his defense as the year has gone on, but it's not like one of the best defenses in the league.
Here's DeMeco on that defense.
They have a ton of playmakers, you know, in their back end. Holland, Ramsey, those guys are ball hawks. So they can get after it. They play Weaver. He has getting enough credit, but Weaver has done a really great job with his defense, right, throughout the entire year, seeing their improvement. Yeah, he's definitely has his stamp on it, and they've done a really great job.
I think that you look at the defense, and it's the areas of opportunity are over the middle of the field. With Kendall Fuller and Jalen Ramsey out there, they've got good cornerback play. So where's the easy money? It's over the middle of the field. And, frankly, An area of the field that feels neglected sometimes by Bobby Slowick.
Mm-hmm.
You'd love to see more crossers. You'd love to see just more natural picks and all these other things. For whatever reason, the Texans don't seem to major in that at all. But this would be a good week to start showing it.
Yep, I would agree with that. People texting in their petties. Not sure what the guidelines are for the petty cast, but how about the NFL literally moving the goalposts for the Chiefs? They didn't move it. The ball just hit the goalpost, okay? I don't think they moved it.
Were the goalposts like shaking in the wind or anything?
They might have been.
Point?
Yeah, I don't know. They might have got the Chiefs, dude. I mean, this is incredible, the run that they're on. It's not just the run of one-score games. It's the like hits the goalpost and goes through. The Raiders are in range for a game-winning field goal, and they snap the ball off the quarterback's face to end the game.
Yeah,
to end the game. Pass interference penalties late in games to get field goal. Like it's really.
If it were any other team,
yes,
you would say, well, if it were any other team that didn't have the track record they do of being a different team in the playoffs, you would really excuse them as okay, well. You know, this isn't their year. And sure, they've gotten lucky a little bit, but this is a little bit of an illusion, this streak that they're on. But you can't do that with the Chiefs. You just flat out cannot do it.
And I can't pick it. If they get the one seed, I can't pick against them in the postseason. Like in Arrowhead Stadium, I can't. I know this is probably the weird thing is they're going to wind up with their best regular season record probably of the Reed Mahomes era. And this might be just play-to-play the least threatening. I don't want to say the worst team because their defense is very good and they find ways to get it done offensively when they need to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
But just like on a play-by-play basis, especially offensively, they're so ordinary. You know, they're just not – there's nothing scary about them until the last 3 minutes of a game where you're in a one-score game.
And that's where I think the Texans right now are 4-point underdogs thereabouts. To the Chiefs.
Yep.
Which, and I think probably the knee-jerk reaction from a lot of Texans fans would be, 4 points. That doesn't seem right. That's how they've been playing all these games. Whether it's a good team or a bad team, that's what the Chiefs have been doing. They've been playing to within a touchdown. They just have not put teams away.
A lot of money made taking those points in those Chiefs games, man. I can tell you that. All right, Juan Soto react. The Juan Soto contract, 15 years, $765 million. Reaction to that, and I've got an Astros-related reaction, something I am not petty about. I am very thankful about when I look at this Juan Soto contract. It's actually remarkable when you look at this Juan Soto contract, Astros-related. We'll get to that coming up next.